I had even one of the supervisors saying, you know, this organization pissed me off, so I'm not going to help them. And I thought, how do you do that? And that's the kind of stuff. So to me, that's where the politics are. And it shouldn't be that way.
No, yeah, it should be what's better in your community. You're a public servant. You know what I mean? Like, if you got into that, that's the reason, is to serve the public, not to...
You should be taking care of the citizens. And the only way to take care of the citizens is through public safety.
Welcome back to another episode of Central Valley Podcast. I'm your host, Micah D'Ailey, a filmmaker, photographer, and a dude passionate about his community. This podcast focuses on the talented individuals that make up the Central Valley of California, as well as people who are passionate about what they do. The Central Valley has gotten a bad rep, and we're here to change that. If you enjoy what we're doing, we kindly ask that you download each episode, subscribe to our YouTube, and leave a rating and review on whatever podcast app you're using. And once again, thanks for tuning into another episode of Central Valley Podcast. Howdy, Central Valley. Thanks for tuning into Central Valley Podcast. I am your host, Micah D'Ailey, and today's guest is Sheriff Vern Warnke. Now, in this episode, we talk all about the sheriff's background, how he became the sheriff, why he became the sheriff, and the problems the department is facing today. We also go into detail about how the public can help and a little bit about what the sheriff likes to do in his free time. So it was a great episode. I just want to thank Sheriff Vern Warnke and Michelle for setting this whole thing up. And I truly, truly appreciate the support. Once again, make sure you like, subscribe, and follow us on all of our platforms. And I truly appreciate it. So ladies and gentlemen, here is the podcast with Sheriff Vern Warnke.
Shout out Duffy. Shout out Micah.
This is it. Central Valley Podcast.
Hey, big shout out Central Valley Podcast.
You know I had to fuck with it. Hey, shout out Central Valley Podcast.
Well, Sheriff Vern Warnke, thank you so much for being here.
Very welcome. Thanks for the invite.
Of course, of course. So can you kind of introduce yourself for people who are listening or watching on who you are?
Let me see. Who doesn't know me? Vern Warnke, Sheriff Coroner for the county. September will be 45 years with the agency. I say my formative growing up years was in Hillmar.
Okay, gotcha. I was wondering, where were you from?
I was born in Cody, Wyoming.
Oh, okay. And how did your family end up in the Central Valley?
Well, my mom left the, I'm going to call him the sperm donor, and abusive relationship. So she scooped me and my sister up, and we moved in with my grandparents in the Bay Area. And for a very short period of time, my mom was actually a cocktail waitress at a bowling alley. And she took me and my sister and set up a booth and had the, had it roped off for us. And that's where we spent the night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And my dad, who she met there, told her, you can't keep bringing the kids down here. And she said, well, I got no choice. So he said, well, let's get married so they don't have to do this.
Wow.
So he married my mom because of me and my sister. So he was the man that raised me. So,
yeah, stand-up guy, basically. Yeah. That's your dad. Yeah,
my dad. Yeah. Yeah, that's my dad.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then... So how did you get into, like, law enforcement? Like, was it something you always wanted to do? Like, growing up, what did you, you know?
Well, during the first couple of years my folks were married, we lived in Newark in the San Francisco Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And on a Christmas morning, got a brand new bike, and my dad handed me a can of wax and said, go out and polish that bike. He was into old cars and such. Well, looking back at, as a dad, and now I think he just wanted me out of the house. He would be with my mom. So I got that. So anyway, I was outside, and I was literally waxing this bike, and a black and white patrol car pulls up, and I'm in the third grade.
Okay, gotcha.
And
what year? You remember? What year is this?
Let me see. I was third grade would put me at how old? 8 years old. So 64, 65.
Okay, gotcha.
And the only African-American police officer City of Newark had at that time.
Wow.
And he got out, and he was just this huge man, bigger than life. And he says, so you got a bike? Yeah, one of those. It's one of those encounters you'll never forget. And he wiggled the handlebars, kicked the tires, and wiggled the seat, and gave it the safety inspection, okay?
And he was like, I'm going to mess with this kid right now.
But he was so embracing. And what he asked if I wanted to sit in his car. And I'm just going, oh, heck yeah. And so he obviously went to a side channel, but he had his dispatch talk to me. I got to turn the lights and the siren on, and I mean, I was that moment. Oh my gosh. So after the siren and everything, he took off, call or whatever. We had to leave. My mom comes out. What the hell's going on out here? So I told her what was happening. She goes, huh? And I looked at her. I said, I want to be that man. That day started my desire to be in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that one chance encounter. And the way he embraced me, the way he made me feel. Uh-huh. And I thought, yeah, this is what I want to do.
It's crazy how like one moment can like change the trajectory.
It was
10
minutes of my life. And it changed everything, you know. So
yeah, dang. And then when did you guys move to Hillmar?
1970.
Okay, and it was after living in the Bay Area for a little bit?
Yeah, we moved there. My folks bought 3 acres, and we lived in a single-wide trailer with a pullout.
Nice.
And, you know, it was funny because that single-wide trailer didn't have the square footage of my RV. You know?
Wow.
So, but I didn't care. I was never in the house, you know. But I fell into heaven. My sister fell into hell because she was a little social butterfly in me.
So it's great for you, but for her, she's like, there's nothing.
Yeah. Oh, and we're way out there, too. So my dad, got in contact with all these farmers and the ranchers, the dairymen.
Mm-hmm.
And back in those days, the dairymen didn't keep their bull calves. They would literally knock them in the head and send them to town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they were worthless as far as they were concerned. So my dad started going around. We had a 54 Cadillac Eldorado convertible. I wish I had that car right now.
Yeah. Dude, my parents used to have like a 1965 Mustang. Yeah, and same thing where I'm like, why'd you get rid of this?
Yeah. So I would go with him on the weekends to these dairies and we'd throw all these calves in the back seat of this Cadillac convertible. And these calves, they're pooping on everything. And but I was in hog heaven. And so growing up in Hillmar and love the area. And so that's, like I said, my formative years were in Hillmar.
Gotcha. So, and then how did you first get into law enforcement after graduating?
Having my desires. So the schools, high schools, and they still do it to this day. They all have a career day at the fairgrounds where they bus in all these students. And knowing that I was going to be a cop, I didn't know when, but I knew I was going to be a cop. And I walked into the pavilion at the fairgrounds, and I saw young people my age wearing sheriff uniforms. They were explorers. Mm-hmm. And the sheriff's office had just started an exploring program at that time. And they started it, I want to say, in 1972 or 3. And I see them in 1974. And I became an explorer with the sheriff's office in 1974. So I've been walking through the doors for quite a while.
Wow. Dang.
And that's all I've ever wanted.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, obviously fast forward, graduate high school. And until I could become a cop, I actually worked as a mechanic for Ford Mercury.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So put myself through the academy, and back in those days, you know, either you were hired or you put yourself through, and that was just the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I put myself through, and a week before I went, I had borrowed $3,500 from the bank to put myself through the academy, and my folks fell into some hard times, and they got my money. And I thought, I can't give this up. So I went to the academy, and at the beginning of the second day, the director comes in. He looks at me, and he kind of does the finger wave, come here. All right, Vern, what's going on? You haven't paid. And I said, well, it was Alfie Johnson. And so I gave him the story, and he says, okay, we can work this out. So I horse traded my way through the academy.
Really?
Yeah, I punched tickets.
Yeah, I just offered your services, basically.
Yeah, and so what I did is I punched tickets to pay for the meals. So I was the last one in line. And then he kind of did the wink and a nod. If you've ever been to a college class, if the instructor stomps his foot, pay attention.
Yeah.
He was stomping his foot. No. In a week, about a third of this class will wash out. He said, we'll probably have rooms available if you just kind of keep your stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've been in college classes where you have to wait, and then like they're like, if you just keep coming, you probably get in.
Yeah. So anyway, so my classmates in the academy knew the circumstances. And so I was bouncing from dorm room to dorm room so that they couldn't, quote, catch up to me, you know. And so I had to stay for the study groups, you know, because, you know, Groton Hillmar, I didn't have a lot of experience in a lot of different things. I had no experience with narcotics, and I struggled during the narcotics portion, and so I got into study groups, but it was because I was able to horse trade my way through the academy.
Mm.
Of course, it was a whopping 11 weeks long at the time.
What is it now?
26 weeks. Yeah, 6 months.
Dang.
Yeah. So it's a lot different now, but and for people to say, oh, you know what, I lost all my money, so I couldn't do it. And I look at somebody, if you truly want something, you can get it.
Yeah. You know. If you just hard work outdoes luck and everything else.
That's the story of how I started.
So you were as a deputy? Is that what like your first role is?
Yeah. I put myself through the academy, and I had applied to several different areas, and to include Turlock Police Department, Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office.
So you just want to be in law enforcement. You don't really care what.
Well, and then during the time I'd graduated the academy until I could get a job as a cop, I drove a Harrow bed for my old high school football coach.
Oh, really?
So during that time, we had a big job here in Merced, and I was 20 years old. So we finished early on the second day, and the other driver and I, we took the Harrow beds out to Lake Yosemite. And he went chasing bikinis, and I found the first two uniforms I could find. And so I kind of latched onto them, and I could tell at first they were kind of going, get away from me, kid, you're bothering me, you know?
Yeah.
And the minute one of the guys heard that I had graduated academy and I grew up in Hillmore, and he looked at me and says, if you applied with us, the sheriff's office? I said, no. Hands me his business card, and he says, you leave here and you go to the sheriff's office right now, get your application, don't leave, fill it out on the spot. Well, what I didn't realize is I was talking with the undersheriff.
Oh.
Okay. And
the second in line, kind of?
Yeah, he's number two. And it was undersheriff at that time. He became sheriff later, was Bill Amos.
Mm.
So he said, and lo and behold, within 6 weeks, I'm sworn in as a deputy. Of course, that's another funny story, is me showing up on the day to be sworn in. The sheriff wasn't there. It was Jess Bowling, who was sheriff. And the secretary said, well, I can't find a sheriff. Well, hang on a second. It was me and another deputy. She said, hang on. She opens the drawer on the side there and pulls out the oath. She said, all right, raise your right hand.
Like, is this how you do it?
Okay, I do.
You just bypassed it.
She looked at me, and she, because she got on the phone with somebody, she looked at me and says, you start tonight at midnight. You start tomorrow night at midnight. And talked to
them. Dang.
That's how that.
Yeah. Not even a 24-hour or 24-hour leave. You're starting.
Yeah, you're starting tonight. Okay. I was excited. And just being able to do this was just, you know, I'll never forget the first week, the first night, you know, so, and that was, well, September will be 45 years ago.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
And then what drew you to want to run for actual sheriff? You know what I mean?
That was never on my to-do list.
But you checked it off, I can tell you that.
Well, it got checked off for me. What happened was when our former sheriff left us, there was no warning. There was no indication. There was nothing. And let me back up a second. Mm-hmm. In 2008, there were some incidents going on at the sheriff's office under that specific, and I just couldn't be a part of it anymore. Mm-hmm. It was breaking my heart because what I saw was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it. You know, I pointed out a felony regarding to one of our commanders, and I got accused of the words that current then undersheriff said I was taking a cheap shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what, I can't deal with this. And so I said, heck with this, but I still like being a cop. Mm-hmm. So I retired at 50 years old, and I was a year to the date, or 29 years to the date, and I came back the next day as a reserve deputy.
Oh, okay.
Because I like being a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started working the west side and doing whatever they wanted me to do.
It's just like a kind of fill in?
Yeah, wherever they needed, you know, because I've done everything at the sheriff's office. And then, our former sheriff left. And
was it 2011, 2012?
I took office December 27th, 2014.
2014, yeah. Gotcha.
Not that I know the date or anything. So I got to, and I saw the candidates running, and I figured one of them was going to be the viable spot, but I kept getting asked and asked and asked by the community. And finally, I'm a faithful Elk member, and being
Duffy
there,
is an Elk member
and,
over there as well.
Yep. And went up there, and they were telling me, Byrne, why aren't you running for sheriff? And I said, well, I'll cut down the language, but I don't have any money, really. What do you need? And I said, well, 50 grand to start. And that's, and I thought that's going to shut him up. He says, done. What's your next problem?
You're like, damn.
Yeah.
Didn't think I'd get this far.
I should have said 100,000. You know? Yeah.
And that's just for running? Like the.
Because you have to buy everything. And during campaign season, they jack the prices of everything, radio spots, television. Mm. They jack everything up. So their first fundraiser, they made over 50,000. And it just went from there. I garnered my first campaign well over 200,000, spent every nickel of it.
Dang.
Yeah. I was doing radio spots. They even had commercials during the World Series when I was running. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. And
so the people kind of, because so many people were like saying, hey, like, why don't you run?
I was asked to run and I said, okay. So I went home to my bride. We've only been married 43 years. So, and at that time was 33 years. And I told her, I said, you know, I won't do it unless she's going to support mm-hmm. me. And she looked at me, and this is probably where I get weepy, is she says, if you don't run, we're going to lose the sheriff's office.
Dang.
Went, whoa.
That's like chills right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. So I said, okay. So we prayed, and the rest is history.
Get ready to unlock the door to your dream home today with real estate agent Marcus Rodriguez. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in this competitive market and you're not too sure where to start, look no further than Merced's preferred realtor, Marcus Rodriguez. He'll make sure the process goes as easy and smooth as possible, and you can reach out to him at 209-875-8212. Once again, that's 209-875-8212, or visit his website, www.myagentmarcus.com. Declutter with ease and reclaim your space. Introducing Be Junk Free Merced, where Scott Livesey is your go-to guru for hassle-free junk removal. Tired of tripping over unwanted items or feeling overwhelmed by clutter? Well, hey, Scott's got your back. Unlike other services that leave you with all the heavy lifting, Scott swoops in to handle everything himself. Say goodbye to clutter and hello to a refreshed space. Reach out to Scott today for a quote and let's make your junk disappear in a snap. You can reach out to him at 209-233-1519. Once again, that's 209-233-1519. Enter the world of precision engineering and unmatched service at Connor Manufacturing, a trusted and family-owned machine shop that has been proudly serving the Central Valley with top-tier craftsmanship. Specializing in intricate parts, utilizing the latest manufacturing processes, they take pride in delivering excellence with each project. For all inquiries, visit their website at www.connormfg.com. And make sure to follow them on Instagram at Connor_MFG. Once again, that's at Connor_MFG. Are you ready to elevate your nights out? Well, step into Joystick, your ultimate destination for arcade excitement, delicious bites, and refreshing drinks that keep the good times rolling. Treat your taste buds to the mouthwatering delights from the kitchen, featuring juicy burgers, crispy fries, wings, and more. Here at Joystick, there's over 20 big screens, so you can catch all the action from your favorite sports teams. Plus, groove to live music, DJ spinning the hottest tracks, and rent out a karaoke room as well. Visit them today at 325 West Main Street in Merced. Once again, visit them today at 325 West Main Street in Merced.
Yeah. You've been here how long now? How long have you been
10 years as sheriff, going on 10 years
oh,
as
yeah.
sheriff, but 45 with the agency.
Mm-hmm.
So in virtually every capacity.
Dang, dude, that's crazy. And then, so you being sheriff, what are your primary goals for the community? You know what I mean? Like, what do you...
Oh my gosh, there's so many. It's like take a dartboard and start throwing darts at it. These are all goals that need to be accomplished. Mm-hmm. And I think first and foremost, if we take care of quality of life issues, it's kind of like everything else will kind of fall into place. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because not enough is done in other law enforcement agencies to address quality of life. And, you know, it's like the old barking dog thing. Mm-hmm. Well, if you can't get sleep, is a barking dog the high crime of the century? No. But if you've got neighbors that can't sleep, there's quality of life going down.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll deal with those. Our SET team, which is the sheriff's enforcement team, down to one deputy. And I just talked to him today, and he's leaving. So going to Stanislaus County. So Jeff Dirksy, if you're listening to me, I love you, brother, but stop it. But those are the main issues. Mm-hmm. Well, right now, my goal is to get the deputies the financial income that they deserve for what they're doing. You know, our current realm, your ride's here. the current realm of the CEO's office, they seem to think that it's okay to have a C average.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get all these counties together and we're going to give you the median of what these counties are. Well, you know, since when is it okay if your child comes home and you know that they're not really doing well in school and they get a C, you're going, hey, right on. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you could do better.
Yeah.
Well, it's like everybody in the county gets a C except for them. Our CEO's office is paid very, very well.
Yeah.
And like even somebody was telling me today that the assistant CEOs are paid more than what's paid in Los Angeles. It's just, you ask
it's
yourself,
like backwards.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Whereas during the last negotiation, all the county employees were given a 6% option. And when they say negotiation, there's no negotiation. County says, this is what we're giving you. That's not negotiating. This mm-hmm. is what you're getting. And so they did that. And then one of my captains, Captain Greg Sullivan, who is a genius, I love that man, he comes to me and he says, I want you to look at this, which is hidden in the agenda. Well, the CEO's office put it in the agenda and got it by the supervisors, and they ratified it for them to get a 17% raise.
17?
Yeah. And when I collared the assistant CEO on this, she looks at me, she says, well, Sheriff, you don't understand. We've got to have qualified people. Excuse me? Yeah, and I don't.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, yeah,
the
exactly.
most dangerous job in the county, and we can't have qualified people, but they can. So I've been raising a ruckus over it.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. A lot of people were like, how can we support you guys?
Well, I'll tell you where it needs to come down to. Our supervisors, who technically are in charge of the CEO, need to address the issue. When I confronted four of the five supervisors regarding that 17%, every one of them said to me that they didn't realize it was in the agenda.
There's no way you're not noticing a...
Well, no, when it's packed, they just assumed, as I do on a daily uh-huh. basis, my administration talking to me, that they're telling me the truth,
mm-hmm.
that everything's above board. But see, in my profession, you lie, you die. Mm-hmm. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it doesn't hold true for other professions within yeah. the county.
yeah.
So anyway, so that was a deceitful tactic, and that was done. And yet they can't understand why, again, DSA won't sign. Well, they offered 8%. Well, the increase in just the medical benefits was near 20%. Was it?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's not even covering.
Yeah.
That.
So if they'd accepted the 8%, they'd still be losing money. They're taking home less money with an 8% raise because of the benefit package. Now, I know for a fact that the CEO's office can go out and find a different benefit package because Merced PD has a really good one for their officers. Stanislaus County has a good one for theirs. Why can't we? But past practice, our CEO's office has just used this umbrella or this big wide scoop paintbrush.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets painted the same color. What I'm finding out now is everybody but them.
Yeah.
So anyhow, there's a frustration level on it, you know, and I realize right now that if I was on fire and laid down in front of some of those at the CEO's office, they probably wouldn't tinkle on me to put it out.
Mm.
Okay.
So I like it.
one of them might use an ice pick to put it out. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So
it's not working.
Yeah. So
people kind of want to know what
they need
can
to
do.
They need to make sure that the supervisors are being held accountable, and the issue that some of the supervisors are quoting stats and or numbers that are given to them from the CEO's office, which aren't accurate.
Dang.
Or not the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry if you omit something. That's lying. You purposely omit it.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so I'm at my point now where I had a call with the CEO yesterday because I told my staff that we were no longer attending any of the town hall meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being because the CEO put down a new policy with regarding that. And I said, I'm not playing that game. So I got with another elected, happens to be our district attorney,
mm-hmm.
and she actually called me over the weekend because she saw the new guidelines that they were putting out. And no, we're not going. You know, if the CEO's office seems to think that HSA and CED, that's community mm-hmm. and economic development, are more important than public safety, then they can live with that.
Yeah,
you know,
without the public safety.
Without, yeah. So that was their choice. So I thought, okay, fine. So DA Silvera and I have chatted, and she and I sat on a tailgate last week in Dos Palos and had more people showed up in that park to listen to us on the tailgate than they ever get in these town hall meetings. So we're contemplating actually putting our own town hall.
Yeah.
To go out and talk to the folks, you know.
And real quick, how did the tailgate talk start?
Well,
right there, Michelle.
Right there. That was the most organic.
I was like, they just started popping up on my feed every now and then. And I was like, look at this guy.
That was such an organic move. Several years ago, a few years ago, I went into my office and it was just, you know, you're being bombarded in every direction. I thought,
like questions about all these different things.
No, I mean, just people. I mean, the media was beating me up. There was and I just wanted to get outside of my office. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, it was a bluebird day. So I got me a big old cup of coffee, got my portable radio, which you see here, put both kinds of music on my phone. You know what both kinds are, right? Country and Western.
Gotcha.
And I sat on the tailgate and I just wanted to breathe. So I'm listening to radio, you know, listen to calls for service coming in. And these people were driving by, and then they'd circle back, and they'd, hey, Sheriff, you got a minute? Yeah, come on, sit down. Deputies pulling, Sheriff, you got a minute? Yeah, come on, sit down. It was to the point where I could go out there and spend an hour, and I'd talk to 30 people. And I'm not smart enough to have ever said, you know, if I sit down on that tailgate out front of the sheriff's office, I'm going to get people. So it just became a thing. And Michelle comes up to me and says, you know, Sheriff, I'd like to do something called tailgate talks. Because she
already coined the name and everything, you know, before it even started.
Yeah, so, but she had seen how many people come in and sat down on the tailgate. Someone would bring their own coffee, just sit down. And I thought, oh, okay, why not? But it seems to have taken off. The folks are out there. And that was such a generic thing. And it's not the fireside chat that the presidents used to do and back in the day with the nation, right? This was one of those things. I was sitting on a tailgate because I was so frustrated and so needing a breath. And then God would send these angels to tell me how good the sheriff's office is doing. They would kind of like get me out of that funk.
Yeah, that you were in when you're saying you're being bombarded.
I just go, oh my God. And yet the right people at the right time with the right message. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
So Michelle did that, and we took off with it. So her idea about bringing different ones, and this last one was the DA.
Yeah, right.
Is that out? Did we put – it goes out tonight. And she has to do a lot of editing because –
yeah, you're doing all the editing and everything. You have like two cameras set up now and stuff too, right? I'm a videographer. That's like my job. So I was like, man, who's doing this?
I was like, wow, the multiple camera's switching. It's like,
So anyway, so she gets that, and she Michael will show up Michaela will show up, and so.
Just like organically came to be.
Yeah, and there's no script.
Yeah, I think people relate to that. And that's why they're doing so well is that, like, for somebody looking in, it's like, I'd rather see just, like, somebody talking to me than, like, some public official set up with a camera. You know what I mean? It's just, like, it's relatable. It's like, hey, Sheriff here, this is what's going on. You know what I mean? And it's just straight, simple, to the point.
Well, when Nicole and I did, the cameras were set up, so Nicole, it was funny watching her get on the tailgate, but that's another story. So
she's short or what?
Yes. So she got up there, and we're sitting there. She goes, what are we going to talk about? And we're getting ready to roll. I said, just tell us how things are going at the office. Oh. And that's how it started. Same thing. I had the undersheriff. I had the superintendent of public schools for Alan Peterson, who got a lot of the high schools. Had Adam Amaral from OES. I had Crystal Casey out of Hillmar, who, by the way, just took an award. And I say it's an award. He was recognized as Merced County Citizen of the Year at my recommendation for Merced Elms. Mm-hmm. Because she is one of those players. She gets a hold of me when something's going on. And it's a great communication because the people know and trust her. And they say, hey, can you get with the sheriff? Well, anybody that's out there that's got my phone number can get a hold of me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a person to do it, but she was dynamite. And then last year was Olivia Gomez out of Planada, because she was so instrumental in helping with the floods. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and just an everyday person that the people looked up to, and because of her trust in me and their trust in her, we were able to bridge a pretty good gap. And the same with Crystal and Hilmar. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think the thing that you do too that's really cool is that, like, you talk to the people, you know what I mean? And, like, you're just open about it, where, like, but like the public officials and stuff like that, it's like, hey, if you're not on the ground talking to people, figuring out what they want, then how can you even lead the city or lead the area? Yeah.
I have this, I don't like dressing up. Mm-hmm. Okay. And
I mean, you dress the character of sheriff to the T, though.
Well, something out of Cody, Wyoming came with me when I moved to the state. I grew up loving it. I actually rodeoed, for a period of time.
So you rode bulls and stuff?
Yep. Yep. And I was probably 19 years old on my last bull ride, and we're at the Turlock Fairgrounds, and then we opened up that chute that some guy took straight off toward the stands. It made a right turn. I made a left turn, and it stepped on my inner thigh, and I went. It was real close to hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm good.
Yeah. I'm gonna be a cop. I'm done. So did team open? You know. And like I say, raised beef cattle, mm-hmm. Registered Angus and Hereford.
Yeah, my grandpa was actually a dairy farmer out in like off of Dickinson Ferry and stuff.
Oh,
like
okay.
That. Yeah, yeah.
And growing through high school, I worked at several dairies milking cows. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, my mom would talk about it. She was just like, because every morning, 3 a.m., they'd be up having to milk cows before school. As soon as they get home, milk cows after school.
Yep, I was doing
that. She
was
like, I do not miss that.
Yeah, I was doing that. Cows don't get a day off.
Yeah.
And neither, you know, nobody
neither do
does.
The dairy farmers.
No, you know, so I was working. And Hilmar, and it can only happen in Hilmar, you know, 16 years old, and I'm out at the FFA, the ag building, mm-hmm. over the intercom. Vern, your boss is here. Need you to go milk cows. This guy called in. And okay, the school, see you tomorrow. And it was one of the, you can think about this, a boss showing up at a school. Hey, I need him out of class. And the school goes, yeah, okay.
But yeah, now, no way. You can't. Yeah, they're like, no. Who are you?
Yeah. But it was, and that's part of Hilmar. I loved
yeah,
it.
Different times
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was a lot of different times.
Well, but, no,
yeah.
So what high school did you go to?
Hilmar High.
Oh, Hilmar. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I just didn't know when.
Graduated 1976.
Man, glory years right there. And then I'm going to kind of rewind a little bit. I know we kind of.
Sorry, I was something
no, you're
in my
good.
Eye.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm going to rewind a little bit. I know we kind of touched on it. So rise and shine with Inland Roasters, a family-owned and operated coffee roastery located in the heart of the Central Valley. Each cup of Inland Roasters coffee begins with sourcing the finest beans. From there, brothers Brent and Reed take their time cultivating the perfect roast profile, turning the otherwise ordinary daily coffee ritual into an extraordinary experience. Because everyone deserves a better cup of coffee. Feel free to visit them at the Turlock Certified Farmers Market every Saturday, where you can also purchase their coffee in person. Find them online at inlandroasters.com. Once again, inlandroasters.com, and follow them on Instagram at @inland_roasters. Once again, that's @inland_roasters. And make sure to use code CVP10 and receive 10% off your first order. Imagine stepping into a warm and inviting atmosphere where every corner exudes elegance, every sip of cocktail delights the senses, and the aroma tells a story of culinary craftsmanship. Welcome to Bella Luna, an enchanting Italian fine dining oasis nestled in the heart of downtown Merced. Whether you're seeking an intimate dinner for two or a vibrant gathering for friends, Bella Luna promises an evening of indulgence and connection with exceptional hospitality that elevates your experience. Get ready to tap into the Central Valley's craft brew scene with Blaker Brewing, located in Atwater and Ceres. Beyond just brewing delicious beers, they're known for hosting epic events that unite the entire community together. From irresistible flavors of their brews to the lively atmosphere, every visit to Blaker Brewing is an adventure. And keep your calendars marked for their upcoming events, including Jacked Up Country Music Festival on 420 with Ben Gallagher, Summer Smash on June 1st for a foodie's dream to come true, the iconic 4th of July celebration with the Valley's best fireworks,
Network show, the Deja Brew EDM Festival on August 23rd, and the legendary Blaketoberfest on October 5th. It's time to raise a glass and join them for the fun at Blaker Brewing. Looking to take your ag business to the next level? Well, look no further than MMIG Construction, the ag commercial construction experts. Based in Atwater, California, MMIG specializes in tailored solutions for all ag construction needs. Whether they're dairy farmers, ranchers, or agribusiness owners, the team is dedicated to bringing their clients' vision to life. From innovative milking parlors to durable steel buildings, MMIG has over 18 years of expertise to ensure the project's success. With quality craftsmanship, timely execution, and a deep understanding of the Central Valley's agriculture, they're the trusted partners for growth. Reach out to MMIG Construction today at 209-724-9488. Once again, that's 209-724-9488, or visit their website, mmigconstruction.com.
You, through the tailgate talks, things, I just hear a whole bunch of different stuff. So there's a staffing shortage right now, is that correct?
Huge. Or no?
Huge staffing shortage. And then, like, another question, so I told my listeners that, like, I was having the sheriff on, and someone was like, it seems like our sheriff's department seems to be, like, less well-funded than others in the area. So is that kind of what we're talking about earlier?
Really? That's the direct answer is we are not as well-funded as our neighboring counties, where their supervisors and CEO's office completely understands. Like I said, I was talking to one deputy today, and he's going to Stan County. He's got to feed his family, and the way it's going right now, he can't do it. And you know, I told him, you know, I'm hoping we're getting close, but there's no guarantees. Mm-hmm. You know, and what I found about I'm going to call it politics, but basically, it's if somebody at a level doesn't like you or is frustrated or whatever, they won't help. Not what's best for the county. It's just that, no, you know, you pissed me off, I'm not going to help you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking at is that, okay, I had even one of the supervisors saying, you know, this organization pissed me off, so I'm not going to help them. And I thought, how do you do that? And that's the kind of stuff. So to me, that's where the politics are. And it shouldn't be that way.
You know, it should be what's better in your community. You're a public servant. You know what I mean? Like, if you got into that, that's the reason, is to serve the public, not to...
Yeah. Not to be, not to be pissy about anything. Yeah. You should be taking care of the citizens. And the only way to take care of the citizens is through public safety. You can have all these other things to make it nice for them, where they can come one-stop shopping for permits. I understand that.
Yeah.
But if the folks don't feel safe, then they're not safe. Mm-hmm. Perception is reality. If you feel safe, then you're safe. You know, but what they're doing is that anybody in their right mind that would be moving to an area, say I was going to go move to BF, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be looking up the stats. I'd be finding out what it's like. How safe is it? What, you know, okay, if they're coming up there, my gosh, the murder rates.
Jose, if you look at our stats, they're not pretty.
Okay, and they're going to go, why would you move to an area where the actual government isn't helping with public safety? You know, they keep telling they are, but I'm going, where is it?
Yeah, you're like, I'm the sheriff and I'm trying to find it, dude. Like,
so I get into this stuff and it's, you know, I'm going to quit punching you so you'll feel better later in life. But right now, well, you got to keep taking the punches until they quit punching you. So I'm going to be very boisterous about this.
Mm-hmm.
I care very much about the deputies. I started at this agency as an Explorer Scout, so I get it. And I'm going to reemphasize something here. They should realize, the county administration should realize that dealing with me is dealing with that greased pig. They're going to figure out they're going to get greasy.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, they're going to find out the pig likes it. I'm not backing down.
Yeah.
I am going to win, and it's going to be how many bumps are they going to take for this? I'm not putting up with their crap. I'm not going to. I answer to the people, okay? I answer to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to look at my deputies in the face, let them know I'm working. We've never had that before. I've worked for several sheriffs, and every one of them was going, that's not our job. That's the union's job to fight for your salaries. And I always thought, well, if I was king, well, now I are.
And yeah, look at you now.
Yeah.
Look at me now. I'm the sheriff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at me now. And again, that wasn't ever in my to-do list.
Yeah.
You know, I just love being a cop.
Yeah. And so with the, you're saying public safety and everything like that, another topic that kept getting brought up by my listeners was like CCW. Because mm-hmm. one of my buddies says that you made it easier to, or like, yeah, more easier to obtain your CCW, right? And so what was your like reasoning? And how can people get CCWs?
Our illustrious Department of Justice, you know, the governor that you all elected, not me, including our attorney general that you all elected, not me, have decided to change some of the rules. But prior to this, it was a game between former sheriffs and the local police chiefs. And I'm going to call it a game, is that if you lived within a city jurisdiction, the chiefs and the sheriff had an agreement. You had to go to that police department, apply for, go through all their hoops, and get denied,
mm-hmm.
and then come see the sheriff.
You had to like get denied in order to go.
Yeah. And I thought, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So what I did is I said, anybody that lives within the county, to include the cities, if you want to come see me first, that's fine. And my reasoning is even in the cities, the people in the cities have an option to vote for sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that makes me their sheriff too.
Yeah.
And so when I first changed that policy, I had a former police chief in Merced, and I guess that statement could be held for a whole bunch of different, mm-hmm. but since I've been there. And he came to me and he wanted to talk, and he says, Sheriff, I don't understand why you changed the policy. It's been working so well. I said, working well for who?
Not get a CCW, yeah. right?
And he said, well, you know, he says, it just works. I said, no, it doesn't. I said, all due respect. And of course, you probably figured I can get pretty colorful with my language.
And, I like it.
And, anyhow, what I ended up telling him, I says, with all due respect, the people don't need your permission to vote.
Yeah.
And they don't need your permission to come see their sheriff. So if they want to apply with me, now, if they want to go to you, that's fine. I said, but why would I apply to something knowing you're going to kick me in the teeth and tell me no?
Mm-hmm.
So, it was at that time on our application form, page 13 was a full page that you justify why you want to carry. Well, why you want to carry is between you and God. You want to protect yourself. I know why you want to carry. Mm-hmm. You want to protect yourself. But because if you're a jewelry store owner, they were saying that you're more important than the guy milking cows. I got news for you. I got more dairymen robbed mm-hmm. at gunpoint in their barns than we do have jewelry store.
Damn.
Yeah. So that was pitting somebody's profession that their life was more important because of what they did and not who they, you know.
Yeah.
So just went down there. So I put on there, I said, put two words, self-protection.
And so when someone comes to the sheriff's and they apply for the CCW, there's the class they have to take, or?
Yes, there is now. It's now a 16-hour initial. Right now, the only ones, because of DOJ requirements, the only one we've got that I am aware of at this point that's... okay, it's up. Okay, go to our list. We have it on
the website.
And
list below.
For the trainers, yeah. And... but that's going to be a 16.
The predominant.
Yeah, the predominant one in Atwater, I'll leave it at that, has been up in the forefront of getting all their people trained. And I will tell you that I know for a fact that their trainers are former deputies.
Mm.
Okay. So I can tell you you're getting some
good.
Yeah, you're getting good quality stuff. where it says to justify with self-defense. I know why you want to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're able to protect yourself, your quality of life just went up.
Mm-hmm.
Just the perception of how you're able to take care of it. And again, fortunate for me is the folks that are doing this. They still, one of them still actually works for me part-time. And I had denied a lady a specific gun several years ago. And
yeah, so is it like specific guns that they can?
Well, there was ammo at that time.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
It had been history that you weren't allowed to use a 22.
Mm.
22 is not the most reliable, but. So one day I get a call from a gun trainer in Fresno. Sheriff, I got this lady here. The only thing she can control is a 22 Magnum, and your policy says this. I said, tell you what I'm going to do. I will check with my chief rangemaster, and I'll get back to you. So this old boy comes in. You guys know who I'm talking about. And he comes in there, and he's, yeah, boss. Hey, listen, 22. This gal says, well, boss, 22 is better than an effing stick. Yeah, you're right. He says, I don't see any problem with it at all. Okay, so I called that guy back up. I said, I just changed the policy. She can carry it. He goes, it was that easy? I said, yeah. I talked to my expert who told me that, yeah, he's the expert. I'm a really good shot,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not the expert he is. He's an expert, and he trains, and that's, I thought, okay, I rely on my expert. So that's why.
Yeah.
So we've broadened that up, and of course, you know, got the state to deal with. And,
mm-hmm.
You know,
all the other holes to jump through, yeah, blah, blah, blah. God. Yeah, I'm sure you're just drowning in that. And then another popular question that people will bring up is like, what are your thoughts on the homeless situation in the area? And I don't even know if this is like you guys or the police department or who's responsible, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
And I'm sure it gets lost as well on who's jurisdiction.
The responsibility, I can sit there and dissect it, but right now, at least in history, currently it doesn't hold. But there's two issues that we have with our homeless population. Mental health or drug induced.
Yeah.
Okay. And one sometimes affects the other. Well, now that there's no accountability in courts about drug abuse, they got no reason to. Okay. So we're herding cats. I don't know what else to tell you. We're herding cats.
You can call the cops. They'll get arrested and get released pretty much.
Well, no. We can't even we write them a ticket.
Really? Yeah, and that's not doing
it. Yeah, really? Yeah. We stopped. So I was out on the one. I called this guy in yesterday, and I'm with the deputy, and we ran the guy. He's got a warrant, homeless guy, for trespassing. That's what he does. He trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it didn't stop him from trespassing now because he was trespassing again today. So, the courts, there's no way to really, at this point, hold him accountable. But I will tell you, D.A. Silvera is got a petition going around there. Folks, and if you're thinking about this, get with her on this petition and sign it. We're trying to make these crimes again mm-hmm. so they're actually punishable.
Yeah.
So she's trying to out.
So even when you've got that guy or you got him again for trespassing, you still can't. It's still just another citation?
Another citation because it's a misdemeanor.
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and there's still some charges out there they call zero bail. Not no bail, zero bail, which means there's no bail requirement on it. Zero bail versus no bail. No bail is I arrest you for homicide. That's no bail.
You
get a no bail warrant, you're going. Zero bail means that whatever you're arrested for, you don't have to post bond.
Really?
And that came out of Sacramento.
Dang.
You know, the state of confusion in Sacramento. So we're dealing
They're like,
with
we're conservative liberal. We don't know what's going on here.
No. Here's my take on this. You got a governor that was mayor of San Francisco, and he thinks it's all right for the community to go around and poop on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And all of a sudden, he's got the out of country people going to go into San Francisco. And what's he do?
He cleans
How many millions
the
of dollars?
Whole city in like a week. You're like, wait, you could do this?
Yeah. And. Oh, it needed to be, but that was all political, you know, and so on. But yet he's trying to turn this state mm-hmm. into San Francisco, and businesses are leaving San Francisco.
Everything in San Francisco, everything's closed at like 8 o'clock at night now. Dude.
Yeah, well, and they're getting robbed and mm-hmm. burglarized and ransacked, and now he says no, but he's going to run for president.
Oh yeah,
so he left a screwed up city. Screwing up this state, and he wants to turn the entire nation into San Francisco.
Okay. And then he says shit like this, like, it's true because it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, wait, what? Yeah. I thought you were going to do a better job of defending yourself on this one, man.
Yeah, and he does it.
No.
So there's no love lost between me and the governor, and I don't care.
Yeah.
His version of the Fourth Amendment is very horrible, the search and seizure, whereas he thinks it's all right to tell you how to run your business. So, and that's, you know, we all remember during COVID and all that and the issues we had there. And I was asked by the Attorney General's office, would I enforce his rules? And I wrote a 3-page rebuttal, and not only no, but hell no. Mm-hmm. If I catch you doing it to him up there, somebody in your agency is going to my jail. And it just, it was amazing. And most of the sheriffs in the state are like how I viewed it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, now that I know what I know, we'll never do that again. We won't even come close to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So anyhow.
No, yeah, yeah. And then real quick, when, how did you start wearing your badge, like how you wear it? You're the only sheriff I've seen wear it.
Oh, my gosh. so
for the listeners, it's like a necklace or like a...
When I first got into office, I wore my badge with a chain mm-hmm. on it. Okay, when they're talking to somebody in our history, I don't know, Michael, if you do it, you put your badge in front of your gun? Yeah, see how you got that down mm-hmm. there? Well, you're looking at him, all of a sudden people see the gun... And then they have to look for the badge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me, I put the badge up front. So being an elk, we had a gentleman there is a Navajo named Red Feather.
Experience the spirit of the Sierra Nevadas with Tioga Sequoia Brewing, where each beer is a tribute to craftsmanship and conservation. Rooted in love for the region and its communities, their brews capture the essence of the Sierra Nevadas and the Central Valley. Whether you're in the heart of the 209 or bustling streets of the 559, come visit them in downtown Merced or the Beer Garden District in Fresno. And don't forget to check out each location for their awesome events like the block parties. You can find their beers at your local stores like Save Mart, Safeway, Vons, Raley's, Walmart, Sprouts, and Costco. Join them in raising a glass for exceptional beer and the natural wonders of our beloved Sierra Nevadas. Step into a world where every sip tells a story, every gathering is a toast, and every moment is cherished. Welcome to Hi-Fi Wine, where passion for wine, community, and family intertwine to create an unforgettable experience. From private events that spark connection to weekly tastings led by industry experts, Hi-Fi Wine is more than just a wine shop. It's a celebration of life's simple pleasures. Joining the Hi-Fi at-home family means embarking on a delectable journey through exclusive wine selections delivered right to your doorstep. Discover them at 629 West Main Street, next door to El Capitan Hotel, and let's raise a glass for life's extraordinary moments. Start your day off right at American Grind Coffee, where the enticing aroma of freshly brewed coffee and the promise of a delicious breakfast await you each morning. Nestled in Modesto at 4742 McHenry Avenue, they are the perfect meeting spot to catch up with an old friend or meet a colleague for lunch. When lunchtime rolls around, they've got you covered with their gourmet sandwiches, hearty salads, and daily specials, all crafted with the freshest local ingredients. And the best part about American Grind Coffee is that they also cater events. Come experience the perfect blend of great food, friendly service, and unforgettable coffee at American Grind Coffee today. At Sign Guys, they take care of all your sign needs. No job is too big or too small. Just give them a call. As the Central Valley's premier full-service sign company, they are there for the customers. Whether it's a banner of an upcoming event, temporary signage, vehicle graphics, or an illuminated sign for a building, customers can rely on them. They specialize in window graphics, door graphics, and metal signs of all sizes. Need an electric sign? Well, hey. No problem. They also offer full service repairs on all signs, ensuring customers need not to worry if their sign is on the blink. They sign their work with pride and attention to detail, committed for their long haul. With over 30 years of combined sign experience, customers can trust them. Don't hesitate to call now at 209-726-0984. Once again, that's 209-726-0984.
And he came in there and he was 98 years old when he made this.
Yeah, I was going to say, it does kind of remind me. Yeah,
and he, Sheriff, I'm tired of seeing you in that chain. So he made this for me.
Wow.
And so that's, and then I had this, the holder custom yeah. made to match with this. So he passed away a year ago at 103.
Dang.
So he was just, you know, so that's. Again, I'm not smart enough to, and, yeah. you know, do, you know, if I do, it just, things kind of morph.
Yeah, and they just happen.
They just happen.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Wearing this, And when I go to conferences and stuff, this is how I dress because this is how I go to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And at first, you know, some people were critical. Where's your suit? In the store, because I ain't buying one.
So, I mean, to be fair, I'm like, this. You look like more like a sheriff than anybody else. You know what I mean?
What's funny is now there's, you know, going on 10 years, and there's other sheriffs showing up dressing like this.
And dang, it seems to be working for him.
Yeah,
you started a trend. You didn't even know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is, yeah. Yippee-i-o. What's that Bruce Willis said? Yeah, anyway. Yeah. Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay. Yeah, that's funny.
So, yeah, we'd have cowboy hat keychains, and then, I don't know, do we have any more the little Roscoe dolls?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the cowboy hat. So I'm not, again, I'm not smart enough.
Do you have a pretty extensive cowboy hat collection?
I'm probably about 30.
30 in?
Yeah. Yeah.
One for each day of the month, man.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I like my hats.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I'm in a position now where I can wear them. You know, mm-hmm. So I just do.
Yeah.
Now I just, the little Roscoe doll. And so I was asked to go talk to a bunch of kids at the, Madera Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. So we flew in and Huey and Landy had all the kids out there. And so we were talking with the kids. Well, we had a whole bunch of folks that met us there. And I'm going in and talking with the kids. And they kept handing them these dolls. I wasn't paying any attention. Yeah. And this one little girl, she looks at me. She looks at the doll. She goes, "That's you." And I looked at that doll and I looked at Amanda and I said, WTF? She started laughing. She goes, "Boss, I was wondering when you were going to notice that."
Like, you didn't even saw they were dolls. Like, you didn't even know they were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm looking at this thing. Are you kidding me? So
you're on some kids' bed, right?
Yeah. Now. Yeah. Well, and they actually designed these so that they got little Velcro hands and they would hang them on their IV stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool on that. But again, really? Come on, man. But we've had fun. And we actually have Roscoe, our mascot.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What is Roscoe? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's what I said. You're the real life mascot.
Yeah, it's the cartoony version of me.
You should just say, you gotta get somebody in a suit. That's like, I'll go be it for you guys, dude. I got you. That's funny. Fun, and then, what's one of your favorite, what's your favorite thing about being sheriff?
The ability to what?
Man, the deputies are just cracking up at that question.
The one thing. You know what I like most about it is there's no bureaucracy within my agency.
Mm-hmm.
We make a decision, and within minutes, we're getting it done.
And everyone's on boards.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I don't have to have a committee to go through. And fortunately, you know, we work like that. You know, the floods, both of these guys were involved in the rescue missions on the floods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michelle just started, and I love this story. So we've got everybody that can drive a machine out there. And so we bring in what's called the mud boat. And it's a very low, shallow draft. We actually bought it from an old boy named Bubba in Louisiana. We bought this.
All types of shrimp.
Yeah. There's shrimp sauce, shrimp size. Yeah. So anyway, so I'm out there. We launched this boat, and I got nobody to help me. And I look at her. I said, "Hey, throw your crap in the truck." Actually, I said, "Throw your shit in the truck." And then, "Come on, let's go." So threw a vest on. We were out there, and it was windy and dark and cold and miserable. But and that little clause at the end, everybody that works for the SO and wears this brand, and all other duties as assigned. Well, that night, we're out there rescuing folks and people going through barricades. But it was – we had to do it. But there was instant decisions. And
you don't have time to vote on stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh no. And so the next day, I was up in the helicopter and was flying over Planada, and it's still waist deep in water. But we'd got the water stopped from coming in, but we can't get rid of it. And so one of the lieutenants is on scene. He radios me and he says, "Hey, got the guy. This guy here. He's been trying to get a hold of DPW, and nobody answers his calls. He's got a machine that can drain this area within an hour. And I would really have him hook up, do it now. I said, we'll clear the path. Within 2 hours, we had Planada.
Dang.
Out of, you know, yeah. And again, but
it was, so what type of machine was that? What the machine you're talking about?
It was a
huge,
he had a big truck. All he did is, it was a pump machine. Uh-huh. And what he did is he pumped the water into a truck and then took it away. But there were several of these trucks and they were dead. They were, and it was quick.
Dang.
And literally had it so we could drive through there within 2 hours. Yeah, yeah. So man. No bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Made decisions on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the night that this happened. I had people coming out, had to make decisions, and had one of the guys, Sean, I love you. I'm going to throw you under the bus. Sean Slate.
Sean.
Yeah. he was my hero because of his equipment and everything. He was able to come in and start blocking the breach
mm-hmm.
of this massive amount of water that was coming out of Black Rascal and mm-hmm. Bear Creek. And again, we cut through the BS and just started dumping. And I just, he handed me an invoice. We were done. I handed it to the CEO and within 2 weeks he was paid. But he volunteered. He was going to do it for nothing because his house was being affected as well.
Yeah.
So, but he came out there with his people in the trucks and just fantastic. But again, it was no bureaucracy, no red tape. But we had folks from the county showed up out there, and it was funny. One of the guys shows up and says, hey, if you don't get out of here, I'm going to have the sheriff come out and arrest you. He goes, well, really? Did talk to the man. Who am I talking with? And
they're upset that there's not a permit or whatever.
Yeah, they were looking. Yeah, and I said, no.
Who fucking cares at that point, dude? Right? Like,
yeah,
trying to save people, dude.
So, and I had two dairies that were protecting themselves. And again,
yeah, that's why I saw all the farm, all like the dairymen and stuff. Like, they were making walls on their stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And they're allowed to as long as if I block all the water from my place, and if it goes to your place, now I'm in violation.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But if I'm blocking all the water and it ends up in the same place eventually
mm-hmm.
and doesn't affect your property, somebody else's property, it's completely legal.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And again, I was flying over a dairy when a dispatch called a deputy to go out there because people were calling in that he's illegally doing. I was literally over the top of that dairy. I got on radio, told deputy, don't even bother. I've already cleared this guy to do this.
Yeah.
Copy, boss. And then they just took off. But it was like, come on, man. Here we are in a crisis emergency.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's-
and they want permits. And the fortunate part eventually was they got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the part about being sheriff, there's no bureaucracy.
Yeah. That's okay. Your favorite part.
Yeah. That's I love that part about it. Yeah. We just take care of business.
That's awesome. And then, what lessons have you learned from being sheriff? Like, what has it taught you?
Oh my gosh. That's every single day I learn something. The biggest one is to have a set of stones on you that you don't mind people coming after you. The biggest lesson is you got to be thick-skinned. And I do a lot of praying, making the right decisions. You know, I'm a potty-mouthed Christian, but I do a lot of, and we got to do that. And there's some people don't like the way I do it. Well, you know what? Unless you've walked a mile in these moccasins, don't even come talk
mm-hmm.
to me. And I love people that show up and, being critical. Okay, yeah, we bought a helicopter from Stan County. Well, I got the buddy deal, call it that. Sheriff and I are friends, and they're saying, well, how can you do that? You can't hire deputies. Well, that's different money.
Yeah,
if
right.
If you know anything about government, that's different money. I can't use that money for salaries,
mm-hmm.
but I can use it to buy life-saving equipment. That's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the helicopters were invaluable. I mean, you couldn't put a price tag on what we were using during the floods. And we even had one rancher. He had about 30 head of cows that was stranded on an island in 2017. We're starving to death. And we couldn't get to it by any conventional mm-hmm. manner. So got the Huey up, put a net underneath there. And they dropped me off on the island. And then they went and got the hay. And I brought it out
there,
and I unhooked it. And then those were 35 of the happiest cows you ever saw in your life because they got food. But that's our job.
It just flooded around them? Is that how, basically?
They wandered onto this
I was like, imagine
area.
You came in with the helicopter and like picked each one of them out. Like, I was like, man, look at Chauffeur.
No. But what we ended up doing is we ended up feeding them. They had plenty of fresh water with that river running around. Yeah, so we didn't have to worry about that. But they had literally nubbed that ground so dry. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, that was a different one. Those are those fighting cows. Oh, yeah. Though this other one was about 4 acres out in the Merced River. That was the San Joaquin River. Yeah, that's one, the dumb ways to die. Is that we? We go out there to feed these others because they've been out there a while too. And we had this airboat, and we get out as we approach this island. And I'm not joking. This island is about as big as this, and there's like 12 cows on this thing,
just all huddled up.
Oh, dang. They were. And they're the Mexican fighting bulls. And they have attitude.
Yeah, yeah. You're so, like, we're trying to help you. They're like, what the fuck? Get away from us.
So we go pulling up with this airboat, and there's no exhaust system on this airboat, and it's loud. And this one bull charge jumps into the airboat with us. Holy bull. Oh, yeah. So we're arm wrestling with this bull. Fortunately, that bull was weak because he was hungry.
Yeah, right.
You know, so we didn't get too beat up. Yeah. But, man, then we ran over.
You're having flashbacks to you at the rodeo, man. Yeah, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and then we end up running over one with the boat, and he come out of the water pissed as hell. So, yeah. So, but, again, some people called in, and they tried to reach out to other resources. And one guy called me and said, Sheriff, I don't know if you can help, but hey, you're the only one I can think of. And that's when we fed that guy's cows. Mm-hmm. Well, that's his livelihood. To me, the government was supposed to step in and help.
Yeah.
He didn't get charged. There was no negotiation. There was nothing. We went out there. We dropped the hay on his, and I got good training in for my pilots. And I was out, and I got to meet.
Yeah, and it's not like this big – it's not like you have to invest so much money to help this person that needs help. You know what I mean?
We invested fuel.
Yeah, exactly.
And they needed the training. So, and it was a good training exercise mm-hmm. for a long rope. So it was, that was, you know, but that's to me is what we're here for. We're not here to take care of you. We're here to help if you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is help. Now we're not, I don't believe in socialism. I don't believe in a socialist state. Mm-hmm. You can help yourself. You help yourself. But when you get to a point, it's like, and Mike's borrowed it. You know, I've got trailers and stuff. You need a trailer, come get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, the guy needed help. Just call.
Yeah.
And that's all we do. But he didn't abuse any system. He was afraid for his cows. So we went out and fed his cows for
him.
So, and within a week or so, the water had receded enough, but we were able to save his 100%, saved them all. And he was able to finally get them out. And because we'd gone back out to survey, you mm-hmm. know, we'd been daily, and then on the day we're going to actually arrange for more hay, and he was on horseback and he was leading the cows out and putting them in a holding pen. So it worked.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's what the government should be doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you touched on the homeless. What are we going to do with the homeless? Well, unless they get the proper help, they're not going to, they're going to always be homeless.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a choice they make. Mm-hmm. You know, I have no doubt in my mind if any one of them can, Sheriff, I don't want to be homeless anymore.
Yeah, you have to want the help. Yeah. You have to want to not be in your
within
situation.
24 hours, they would. I'd have them placed within 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But within 24 hours, they would have a place with an address.
Yeah.
You know, so it's there. It's available. But you can't push a rope.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, our governor and those up in there seem to think that it's all right that they do all these nasty things in the community and make life miserable. And it wasn't until he became a victim that mm-hmm. he started a special task force. So, in one area. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey,
but if somebody foreign comes, then we can clean it up in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And give them medical benefits that I can't get for the deputies.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. So, it's a lot to jump through, a lot of hoops and stuff like that. So, outside of being sheriff, Vern Warnke, what does Vern like to do, like outside of being sheriff? I know, I'm sure that it. I don't know what that is over there. That's what they're doing.
I have a strong passion for cooking. And my philosophy is if it once had parents, I can prepare it. So
I have a little bit of everything, huh?
I've cooked about everything from, you know, the standard cuisines that people are normally mm-hmm. to rabbit, frog legs, rattlesnake, alligator. Right now I'm working on some zebra.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you get a zebra meat?
Kill a zebra.
I figured that. But I meant, like, is it like in the same category as like a deer? Then
you know well, what I mean? it's called an exotic.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a group of guys that I know that they'll go to Texas and hunt. And buddy of mine, Charles Lowe, went mm-hmm. with these guys, And you know, the water buffalo, you know, that kind of stuff is out there, and they're paying a lot of money per animal to do this. And they were able to shoot a zebra there. And you know, folks, don't get this idea. Zebras are not friendly horses. They will kill you if they have an opportunity. Okay. They're a horse with an attitude. And the other thing I found about zebras, you can have light and dark meat at the same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, now he gets it.
So that's what you're working on right now?
I've got a...
And is there a certain way you cook that? Or
all kinds of different ways. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a lot of people... I'm one of those. I won't tell you what you're eating.
Yeah.
I'll finally ask.
What type of tacos are these? Yeah. Zebra. Yeah.
Well, and they're going, what? And
so got to be
the frog legs. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really? Tastes pretty good though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You grow up eating that stuff, or
okay. I just got gigging. Yeah. We were out horseback riding, me and a buddy, and we went by this one canal outside of Hillmar, way out in the sticks, and it was a leaky gate, and it had this area that had been leaking for like forever, and it was the typical. You look at it and go, "Oh, there's got to be frogs," and we went there, and there was hundreds of frogs. Well, yeah, I come home with a lot of frogs. My dad
was they're like, "What are you doing?" Or no?
No, I knew it. Oh my gosh. My dad said, "Watch this." We skinned a frog out. He goes, "Honey, cook this frog." And what? we left the nerve endings. And my mom,
so they're like twitching.
Oh, yeah. She puts them in the frying pan, big old skillet, you know, cast iron frying pan, and these legs are going, eek, eek, eek. She goes, "Oh my God." You know? So my dad was laughing his ass off. So, yeah. So, anyhow, we. So, yeah, grew up doing that, but I enjoy cooking weird stuff.
Uh-huh.
And there's now people at the lodge, because I like to cook on Fridays down there, and people at the lodge, and they'll look and they'll start and go, "All right, what's in it?"
They just
automatically know. And then they've been asked to cater events for people that know me, and they'll be going along and no weird shit.
What? Come on, man.
Yeah, I did a whole alligator at the lodge one time. And really? Oh, yeah, it was wonderful. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It left the head on it.
Yeah, you have to, right?
Yeah,
you
left the head on it. Oh, yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. But I've got I ordered and had a custom-built smoker shipped to me from Texas that I mounted on a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used it one big time for our, it was a search and rescue. So we cooked a lot of tri-tip and chicken on it, and it worked out really well. So I'm very pleased with it, and I'm still modifying things. But
you got to fit a gator on that thing, huh?
Yeah, I love the cooking aspect.
That's really cool. That's awesome. Well, hey, Sheriff, I just want to say thank you for giving us your time here. We truly appreciate it. We appreciate what you do for the community. And if anybody wants to support you guys, like, how can they?
Well, the one politician that you can get after will be the supervisor. Okay. Folks, it's up to you. You know, if you like the way things are run, then say nothing. But if you want to affect a change where the supervisors actually have to give marching orders to the CEO's office to get stuff done, it's going to take them to do it. I can only do so much, you know, and I am not going to let them be anonymous when they're making decisions. That's what they want. And I told them, I said, it's not personal. Well, you're making it personal. It's not personal. If I call your children ugly, that's personal.
Yeah.
I'm letting you know that you're making million-dollar decisions. You're going to own it.
Yeah, seriously.
So, and I'm going to let people know who's making those million-dollar decisions. So,
no, you're just keeping people accountable.
Yeah,
and that's what
I'm held accountable. Needs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, tell me if I wasn't doing my job, you don't think people would be crawling up my colon and telling me to do something different? Yeah. They have that right to do that, and they elected.
Well, careful with your words. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. They elected me to do a job.
Yeah.
And I take that very seriously.
Yeah.
And the fact that people put their trust and put their vote is something different for me. And I can put this into context for you before I take off. You ever seen the movie American President?
A long time ago. Okay. It's been a while.
There was a scene in there in which, you know, the relationship between the president and his gal, she didn't like what happened. And she showed up and he says, hey, it wasn't you. It wasn't. She goes, you know, you don't understand. You just lost my vote. That rang home to me.
Mm-hmm.
That one statement is very powerful. You know, if we can keep the elections above board and honest, we can do that. But to have your vote be cast, you know, folks, you need to vote for somebody that you truly believe in. Like when I tell you I support somebody, it's because I think they can do the job and do the job well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not expecting anything other than them to do their job well. When I supported Nicole for DA, she owes me nothing except to be the best DA she can for this county. When I support people for those positions, it's because I think that they can do the best job. She's been in office for a little over a year, and she's already had to tell me no a few times. That's fine, because I know her character. I know her being. She's a solid person, and she felt in the best interest of what was going on mm-hmm. to tell me no. Okay, I live with that.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's what you do. So when I say this is what I'm supporting, like I did for Judge,
mm-hmm.
you know, Monica was – because she's going to do a fantastic job. She owes me nothing but to do the very best job she can do.
Yeah.
And that's why I support people. If they're going to come in there and do that, then I think they're going to do a job that we need to have in there. So anyhow, appreciate your time.
Of course. Thank you so much.
And I guess was this a wrap? Say good.
Say, we're going to do some photos and stuff, but yeah, it's a wrap.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Shout out Duffy. Shout out Micah.
This is it. Central Valley Podcast.
Hey, big shout out Central Valley Podcast.
You know I had to fuck with it. Hey, shout out Central Valley Podcast.